I'm not sure what you think about today's topic. It's got to do with taxes, which sounds a bit dry. But I think all of us, as we grow up, and maybe even some of you who probably think you've never paid taxes before, well, in Australia, we have this thing called the GST, don't we? The Goods and Services Tax. So even if you've bought something, as long as it's not unprocessed food, then you've paid tax, even if you haven't got a job. Now, I'm assuming here that we don't like paying taxes. Anyone here who likes paying taxes? Someone put up their hand, sort of halfway up. Maybe there is a place for taxes, but most of the time, I tend to think it's not the most exciting thing to think. I've got to pay money now to the government. Now, I bought some fuel the other day, and looking at the receipt, it told me that I'd paid $48.93 for just over 35 litres of petrol. And that included $4.45 of the goods and services tax, not to mention the fuel levy component, which is, anyone know? Right, the fuel levy is just over 38 cents per litre. So in my total spend of $48.93, taxes made up close to 37% of the total cost. Do you reckon that's fair? Sounds a fair bit to me, I think. A bit too much. No wonder petrol seems so expensive. Now, obviously, most people don't like paying taxes. But there's a bigger issue here for us Christians when it comes to paying taxes. And that is, what should our attitude be to the authority structures of this world? Now, this is an issue because taxes are financial charges imposed on people by their governments. When you pay tax, you're also acknowledging the authority of the government that you're paying the tax to. But as Christians, our greatest allegiance is to God. So how does allegiance or submission to the political authorities of this world fit in with our allegiance to God? Now, in dealing with this issue, once again, it's important to apply a gospel framework to work out what should be our thinking about this particular problem from a Christian perspective. What light do the truths of generation, degeneration, and regeneration shed on the issue of taxation? Well, first of all, on the level of generation, we have to ask the question, how did taxation fit into God's created order back in the beginning? In particular, do you think that taxation existed back in the Garden of Eden? What are your thoughts on this one? Was there taxation back then? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, no taxation? What about when society developed? Do you think there'd be taxation after that? Assuming they're all still in the garden. Is there any need for taxation? My view is that there probably wouldn't be any need for any form of taxation in the Garden of Eden. Because, as we've seen previously, if the economic system in the garden was a form of divine communism where God owns everything and everyone there willingly and unselfishly served God and one another, then there wouldn't be any need for money and there wouldn't be any need for taxation. The only real tax back then would have been the impost of the submission of the whole of ourselves in loving service to God and to one another. So back in the beginning, before sin had entered the garden, there wouldn't have been any taxation. People knew that everything belonged to God. We human beings would have seen ourselves as being God's servants, and we would have worked for the common good, sharing the benefits of our work with each other openly and willingly, without any thoughts of holding anything back solely for our own usage. And in such a society, there wouldn't be any need for taxation because everyone would be fully serving God and fully serving each other. We'd be doing things for each other for the love of it. But as we know, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And the ideal society that we had in miniature there in the Garden of Eden was lost. On the level of degeneration, after the human race lost the right to live in the garden, humanity was forced to make a living from the ground that had been cursed by God. Instead of living in a garden paradise with everything provided, every member of the human race would now grow up in a world of limited resources, where food and other benefits only come with sweat and tears. And this problem of limited resources combined with human selfishness resulted in inequalities in wealth distribution and also in an unstable political situation in the world as a whole, as various people or groups of people sought to gain and exercise political control over others. As part of this, whenever governments were formed, there was usually some kind of taxation of the people who were under the control of the government in question, simply because governments always need money or resources in order to do their job. And sometimes also because the people who exercise political power seek to personally benefit from that position of power. Now, on the level of regeneration, we know that Jesus has come into the world to bring in the kingdom of God. And like back in the beginning, it makes sense to conclude that there isn't any taxation in the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, there's no longer you versus me or yours versus mine, but everything is ours together. It's held in common and fully and willingly shared, with supreme authority and the title of universal ownership resting in the hands of God. So I think we'd have to say in the kingdom of God, there's no taxation. But does that then mean, because there's no taxation in the kingdom of God, combined with the fact that as Christians our allegiance is first and foremostly with God, do all those things mean then that as Christians we shouldn't pay taxes to worldly authorities today? Now, there have been some Christians who have concluded that, but I think there are a number of problems with that view. Firstly, for any Christians who think that they don't need to pay their taxes, I think there's an issue of fairness when it comes to you benefiting from government spending. It's important for us to acknowledge the extent to which we personally often benefit from the taxes that are paid to the government. And while there's often a lot of waste when it comes to the spending of taxpayers' dollars, which is to be deplored, and while we may not always agree with the ways in which the government decides to spend the taxes that it receives, we as individuals often personally benefit from the use of taxpayers' dollars. For example, there are probably a number of us here who have gone to public schools. For such people, the cost of most of our education has been charged to the taxpayer. If you've been educated thanks to taxpayer dollars, do you think it's fair for you, when you grow up, not to pay your taxes when you have a job? And that job, by the way, you only have really, in part, thanks to the education that you've received. Do you think that's fair? Now, most of us here have also probably gone to a hospital before, or we've gone to see a doctor. Chances are, taxpayer dollars were used to help build the hospital that you visited, or to pay part of your medical expenses. And what about transport? How many of us here have ever used transport before? Anyone who hasn't? Whether it be by car or by bus or by train, chances are taxpayer dollars have been used to build the infrastructure that you use every time you use transport. The very roads that we use to drive on to get to church have been built by the government. If we benefit by driving on government roads, isn't it fair and right that we contribute something to the building and maintaining of such roads? If you as a Christian keep on driving your car on government roads while saying, I don't have to pay taxes, I think that's rather contradictory, and it could be argued that it's also a little bit selfish. The other thing that we should keep in mind at this point is that any money you have, if it's Australian money, it's actually money that comes from the Australian government. They're the ones who coined or printed that money in the first place. Jesus said we should render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. If you're part of the system because you accept Australian dollars as a store of value for your wages or business dealings, then it's only fair that you play by the system's rules. Otherwise, you shouldn't be using the monetary system of whatever currency it is that you are using. Now, secondly, I also believe that the attitude which says we don't need to pay taxes goes against the teaching of the Bible. The Apostle Paul's teaching is quite clear in this regard. Whatever our opinion about the goodness or the legitimacy of any worldly government over us, any authority that currently exists is actually there by God's appointment. And this is what Paul says quite plainly in Romans 13 verse 1. He says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except by God. And those that exist have been appointed by God. Paul doesn't say here that just the good authorities have been appointed by God. He actually says there is no authority that hasn't been appointed by God. And that includes the bad ones as well as the good ones. Now, how is it that Paul can say that? Well, he can say that because he knows that all things, whether good or bad, ultimately come from God. So any government that happens to exist does so because God has allowed it to exist. The Bible teaches that we should obey any earthly authority over us, except for when such obedience would require us to break an explicit commandment of God. Following that principle, both Jesus and Paul taught that taxes should be paid to the Roman Empire. But also following that principle, we see the apostles continuing to preach the gospel despite being forbidden to do so by the authorities. We obey the government of the day as far as we can. When there's something which is explicitly against the commands of God, well, we can't follow them in that regard. But when it comes to paying taxes, well, we see Jesus and Paul saying, pay your taxes. They were taxes paid to the Roman Empire. And when we look at the Roman Empire during the time of the New Testament, is there anyone here who would say that the Roman Empire was a godly government? No. Many things the Roman authorities did were morally degenerate. But yet we get Jesus and the apostles saying that Christians should pay taxes to the Roman authorities. The apostle Peter summarizes the biblical position well in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 13 to 17, where he says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, but not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Instead, live as servants of God. Honour everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honour the emperor. Notice how he says that Christians are to honour the emperor. Now, that's an amazing statement when you think about it. He's talking about the Roman emperor. Those guys weren't known for their godliness. But applying the same principle to us today, we also need to honour the governments that are over us, even though we might not like them at certain points. honoring the governments that are over us doesn't mean being silent when they do things that are wrong. It doesn't mean continuing to vote for them at the ballot box even when they don't deserve it. But it does mean that we should obey the laws of the government, except for when doing so would mean breaking an explicit commandment of God as taught to us in the Bible. So when it comes to paying taxes, I might not like paying taxes personally, but the Bible tells me that I should pay any taxes that the government requires. Paul says in Romans 13 verse 2, whoever resists the authorities resists God's decree, and those who resist will incur judgment. If you get into trouble for rebelling against the government or for not paying taxes, then from a biblical perspective, you shouldn't be surprised. According to verse 3, if you do what's good, then you'll receive the government's approval rather than punishment. Now, obviously, there might be times when doing good can get us into trouble with the authorities. But most of the time, if we're intent on doing what's good, then we won't receive too much trouble from the government. In verse 4, Paul states that the governments that have been placed over us have been appointed by God to be his servants for the good of the people. Now, it's also true that some governments don't actually help their people very much. Many governments throughout the history of the world have, in reality, brought about lots of suffering for the people under them. But that is no excuse for not putting into effect what Paul is teaching us here. As best as we can, while always making sure that we put God's commandments first, it's necessary for us to be subject to the authorities that are over us. In verse 5, Paul gives us two reasons for why we should do this. First, because if we do what's wrong in rebelling against the authorities, they will carry out God's wrath against us. And secondly, because of conscience, which probably means here the conscience of others. This idea of the conscience of others is explained well by a story that we see in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. There were some tax collectors who were collecting the temple tax, and they asked Peter whether or not Jesus paid the temple tax. Peter said yes, but after he had entered the house, Jesus spoke to him first and asked him, "What do you think, Simon?" That's Peter's natural name. "From whom do the kings of the earth take their tolls or taxes? Do they tax their own sons or do they tax others?" Now Peter replied, "Well, they actually tax others. Why would you tax people from your own family? It doesn't make sense. You tax others if you can. That's what the kings of the earth do." So Jesus replied, "Well, that means then that the sons are free. However, not to give offence to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that shekel and give it to them for me and for yourself." Okay, so that's the story in Matthew 17 there. It's an interesting one. But from that, we can see that Jesus understood that taxes are imposed on others, not on the sons of the king. The implication seems to be that because we Christians are the sons and daughters of God, and God is the king of all, that means we're ultimately under God's authority, so therefore we are free. Because we're under God's authority, he doesn't tax us, right? We're free. We don't need to pay taxes. In theory, because we're under the authority of God, we don't need to pay taxes to any earthly authorities. Think about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's not subject in and of himself to any worldly power. So why should he be paying taxes? Doesn't make sense. But in order not to cause unnecessary offence, he paid his taxes. In the end, it's not a good look for the gospel for Christians not to pay their taxes. It causes unnecessary offence. So we should be aware of the conscience of other people around us. Now, obviously, as Christians, we shouldn't obey specific human laws when those laws contradict God's law. But Paul says in Romans 13, verses 6 and 7, that we are still to pay our taxes. He says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honour to whom honour is owed. So, it's important that when it comes to paying our taxes, we need to be honest. If you have income to declare, then you should declare it. Be honest also with the deductions that you claim. It's also okay to minimize the tax that you pay by way of any legitimate financial arrangements that the law allows. But remember that the governments that are over us have ultimately been appointed by God. According to Paul, they're actually servants of God. Governments that are over us have been appointed by God as his servants. If taxes are sums of money paid to God's servant, then taxes are effectively amounts of money that we are giving back to God for the common good. Now, I acknowledge that when the government spends taxpayers' money in ways that we might not agree with, well, that's problematic, isn't it? As Christians, some of the money that we pay in taxes might go to certain things that we might not agree with, like funding abortion clinics and things like that. So there are problems here. But whether the government is corrupt or not, whether it has good policies or bad ones, it still is God's will for us to submit to the authorities that are over us and to pay our taxes. Having said that, it's interesting to consider the levels of taxation that the government has regulated. And the Bible acknowledges that heavy taxation isn't good, and it's actually politically stupid to burden your people. As a general rule, lower levels of taxation are better for economic development and personal freedom. It's also true that human sinfulness tends to result in government money being wasted in ways that personal money perhaps wouldn't be. Now, there is a reason why the private sector is generally more efficient than the public sector. And that is because the private sector is generally more careful in spending money than what the government sector is. Now, the government, it's always got money coming in, and it's sort of like money that doesn't belong to anyone. So the care factor that involved there isn't as great as when there's some kind of individual personal involvement in the sum of money that you're spending. So high levels of taxation in general aren't good. We should keep that in mind. But whenever we feel that the rates of taxation are too high or that public resources aren't being managed appropriately, we can always speak up and agitate politically about that. As Christians, there may be times when we would like to change how the system is run, or even to change the system altogether. But such things can only be done legitimately from within the system. Now, thankfully, in our system of government, political agitation is allowed, as long as it's peaceful. Political change is also allowed through the democratic process of electioneering and casting our vote at the ballot box. That means that in democratic countries like our own, we can argue for what we believe in. We can also vote for politicians that advocate policies that we favour. Personally, we should view that as a privilege, no matter how unhappy we might be with the way that government is conducted in this country. At least here in Australia, we do get to express our opinion, and it does have some effect. It's a lot better than in some countries where, you know, if you express an opinion, you might be in danger of losing your life. So By way of summary, what should we say as Christians in relation to this issue? Well, all in all, taxes shouldn't be excessive, and ideally, they'd be kept to a minimum. But whatever we're asked to pay by way of taxes to the government, if we're part of the system, then we have to play by its rules. That doesn't mean that our allegiance is necessarily with the government that is over us. In all things, as Christians, our allegiance must be supremely with God and his kingdom. But in submitting to God's authority, we should also put into practice what he says. And he tells us that we should be honouring the governments that he has placed over us, and that we should be paying our taxes as the law requires us to do so. Keep in mind that whether the government is good or bad, as far as God is concerned, they've been appointed by him, and whatever government it may be, it is God's servant, hopefully for our good.